Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Devotions. This is where every day you and I, we get together, we have a little bit of coffee, we get into God's Word, and we grow in our love for the Lord together. And this year, 2022, we'll make it from the book of Acts to the book of Philemon. And today we're at what some people think is a controversial section, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 through 16. But we better have some coffee first, and we'll pray, and we'll get into God's Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. And we pray that as we read your word, that your Holy Spirit would be the one teaching us. We pray, Father, that you would let us know what your word says, what your word means, and how your word applies to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here we go. We are at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 2. Now, so again, this is a new section. Now, by the way, now is going to start issuing a whole bunch of practical things that are going on in the church between chapters 11 and chapters 14 is kind of a unit of things that are going on in worship that he needs to kind of iron out and straighten out. So now, I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is one and the same, as if her head were shaved. For if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. For man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head, because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For as woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman. But all things are from God. Judge among yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. But if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. Well, we have a difficult passage. We need to ask ourselves, A, what's this about? B, what's the best verse to summarize this? And C, what are we called to do in response to this? So, as we come into this new section, we're going to move through this a little bit slowly because there's a lot of cultural baggage that we might not understand that's coming behind a lot of this. And so, let's start. This is going to be a little bit different. So, it's taking chunk by chunk. We're going to go through a few verses. We don't normally do it this way, but I think it's important. Right, verse 2. Now, I praise you, brethren, that you remember all the things and keep the traditions just as I delivered to them, right? They remember the things that the apostles and the prophets brought to them, and they have kept those things, right? They're following the pattern of worship that they had given to them. Now, I'm going to say here that this is where our friends, people we might know who are Roman Catholics are going to say, oh, look, see, there's traditions, oral traditions that aren't in the scriptures that they follow. This is the mass and stuff. I don't think that that's what this is talking about. Right, they'll try to shove a whole bunch of ecclesiology into this one, into these little bits of passages like this. That's not what this is talking about. It's how are things to be done orderly. But But he's got a contention with them. There's something going on in the church. People are prophesying, specifically women in the church. And we need to deal with this honestly. Right? We need to deal with this subject honestly. There are many people who I would call conservative who would say, well, there's no way that the women were praying and prophesying in the church, in the worship service. Well, the problem is it's right here. Right? The problem you have is you have Philip's daughters who are prophetesses. You have Anna. You have too many prophetesses in the scriptures to just ignore this offhand. And so we need to deal with this genuinely, and we need to work through this together. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Right? There's a order to things. Right? God the Father, Christ, men, women. Now, this is not an ontological order. What do I mean by that? This is not an order meaning how valuable someone is. Right? Jesus and the Father are one. Jesus and the Father are one in deity. And yet, the Son submits to the Father. And yet, the Son comes to do the Father's will. And yet, the Son listens to his Father and does everything that his Father tells him. Now, he's in full agreement with his Father, but the point is, there is an economic order to things. This is not ontological value, but this is economic order. So, how things happen. This is the same way in a marriage. Husbands and wives fulfill different roles in a marriage. Men and women fulfill different roles in society. And so what this is saying here is not saying that women are less valuable than men, but that there are different functions and different roles in a marriage. And in a marriage, the husband is to be the head of the home. And he's going to work this out. We're going to see how this goes. He says, every man praying or prophesying having his head covered dishonors his head. Now, in the Roman world, we have statues and we have reliefs that show what Roman worship looked like, even of senators and emperors and stuff. And when they would go into pagan temples, they would take their toga and they would actually cover their head with their toga as they prayed and made their sacrifices and made their prophecies. By saying that this is dishonoring to God, what the Apostle Paul, what the Holy Spirit is telling us here is that they're going to be having an actual sign, right? When Paul gave them this tradition of how to pray in church, it was saying, you're not going to do it like the pagans. You're not going to cover your head. Men, you're not going to go in there. You're not going to cover your head and pray like you used to pray to the idols. You're not going to cover your head and give fake prophecies like you used to do at the temple. You have a new God and a new way to pray. All right, so for men, right, you're not going to cover your heads because something has radically changed. So what about for women? Right, it's a natural question, right? Because there are women in the church who are prophesying and praying. So what happens with that? Well, he says, but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. For that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. What's he getting at here? What does this mean? Well, again, in the ancient Roman world, for a woman to uncover her head was for her to say, I'm not married. Hey, I'm single and I'm available. And Paul is saying, that's not good either, right? That's shameful. And it's just as shameful as if you had shaved your head. Well, we might think, well, why is shaving your head shameful? Well, if you went back not too far ago and you went back to the invasion of the Nazis in the Netherlands, the Nazi sympathizers, the women who would go and would sleep with the Nazis when the Nazis were defeated and Germany was pushed out, they shaved the women's heads as a sign of disgrace. See, we're only maybe not even, we're 80 years removed from that, but that's what happened. And so he's saying, right, women, you still need to have your heads covered. It's different for you because you're married. If you're a married woman, the word here is gini, which could be translated woman or wife. It depends on the context. And here it's continuing to be this woman who's under authority, and so it's most likely a wife. In those days and age, if you were a virgin, if you were a young woman, you wouldn't wear your head covered. You would have your head uncovered until you were married. Until you were married, sorry. And so he says in verse 6, "For if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered," right? Okay, so if it's shameful for you to shave your head so you can prophesy, well, then maybe you should cover your head, right? This is what he's trying to say here. And so he goes through kind of first part here, the customs of the day, how the worship of God is supposed to be kept, the traditions that he's given them. Now he's going to move on to more going back to Genesis, going back to nature. "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. For man is not of woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for woman, but woman for the man." What's he getting at here? He's saying that men were created in the image of God, women were taken from man, and women were made as helpers for men. This is Genesis 2 theology. And so he's saying we're not upending the whole created order. Right now, there's a lot of things in culture that are going to be upended, but he's saying here, right, we're not getting rid of marriage. We're not getting rid of roles in marriage. We're not getting rid of roles between men and women, but this is the way in which God created things. And so we're going to still continue to show that, even though women are prophesying in the church, women are praying in the church. And so he continues, and he says, "For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels." Well, that's a weird statement. There's a lot of ink spilled on that one. It's most likely what 1 Peter 1:12 is getting at, and Ephesians chapter 3, when it's talking about even the angels' desire to look into these things, and that even as we are gathered together for worship, the angels are listening in to find out about this story of redemption that we have. And so we have heavenly beings, we have rulers and principalities, authorities in the heavens who are listening in on worship. "Nevertheless, neither is a man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For as woman came from man, even so man comes through woman, but all things are from God," right? Everything has its origin story, right? And so it's God first, man came from God, woman came through man. And so he says now, he gets into verse 13 through 16, and he's going to talk about these roles once more. "Judge among yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him?" Well, we're post-1960, and so maybe we might think, oh, hold on, what's this all about, right? It's perfectly fine for men to have long hair. And then you'll also see movies of Jesus, right, where he's got like long Fabio hair and stuff like this, and it's just like, well, no, actually, they had shears back then. They were able to shave, they were able to cut, and so long flowing hair was typically used of a couple of different classes for men, right? Young boys would run around with long hair, and also effeminate men would run around with long hair. And so in this culture at this time, wearing long hair was the symbol of that. And he's saying, but that's not you, right? Look around at you, and you're able to see that that's not the case. Now, we know there's exceptions to that because of people like Samson, right? But he was the exception. He took a Nazirite vow. We have Absalom, whose hair was so long that as he was running through or riding through the trees, he gets stuck in his hair in the trees. And so there are exceptions to this. But at this time in Roman society, this is what Paul is getting at. And Corinth is a very Roman city by this time. But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her. Isn't that interesting? It's the opposite for women, right? For men, a masculine man has short hair. For women, a beautiful woman had long hair, not short hair. For her hair is given to her for a covering. And then the summary of this, but if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. So I can imagine this being an especially difficult thing in the first century church, where you have many matrons of the church who are hosting the church in their homes. And as they come home, you know, let your hair down type thing. You know, you're not in public. You're in a house gathering. He's saying, don't throw the societal norms out the window with that. And so we have to ask ourselves, so how does this keep applying today? Right? Well, I'm going to say that when we use the arc of biblical theology and we understand what's going on here, we're able to see that this actually isn't totally applicable to us today in some ways and still very applicable to us in other ways. What do you mean by that? Well, 1 Corinthians is written to a very early church. And it's my opinion, I think it's a biblical opinion, that as we read through the scriptures and we get to especially the pastoral letters the pastoral epistles when he's writing to Timothy and he's writing to Titus, there's a ceasing of what's going on in the early, very heart start of the church, right? There, where there were women prophesying, and there's he's going to actually address this, right? Where later people are just prophesying all over the place, and he's like, whoa, 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 hold on, stop. This is a little bit of chaos. Our God's got to order. We got to put things in order, right? And so if you're going to prophesy, you need to do it in order. If you're going to speak in tongues, you got to do this in order. And then as we get to the pastoral epistles, eventually you're at a point where Paul says, I don't even allow a woman to speak in the church, right? Why? Because the apostles and the prophets, what we have learned from God, what he has done to lay the foundation of his church, the foundation, the cement is hardening. It's becoming solidified. And so many of these gifts are now going away by the time you're getting towards the end of the New Testament. This is what is a contentious doctrine. This is called cessationism. I am a cessationist. I don't think that the gifts that we see, especially in the book of Acts, are regularly ongoing, occurring things that still happen in the church today. And so I think that if there is anything like prophesying, it happens from the pulpit. But even that is not new revelation, but it's forthtelling, not foretelling. It's not receiving divine inspiration, but it's going to the written inspiration and speaking it out. So in that sense, I don't think that women actually need to cover their heads in the church because there's no more prophesying. There's no more new revelation from God in the church. And so this isn't something that happens. Actually, I would say by later New Testament writing, it's actually not supposed to happen, right? Especially from certain people in the church. And again, this isn't saying that women are less valuable. It's just saying that that era of that first very beginning part of church history is just that. It was a beginning part, and now this is gone. Now, some people are going to argue with me against that, and they're going to say, but this makes an argument from nature. Yes, of course it makes an argument from nature, and that the order still applies, right? We don't just throw out the idea that there are roles in the world that God has made, nor do we throw out the idea that there are roles in marriage that God has made. By saying I don't think that this applies in the exact same way as it did in the first century church doesn't mean that I'm saying that none of this applies at all. I still think that men must be submissive to Christ and wives must submit to their husbands. We find that in Ephesians chapter 5. And so, or Ephesians chapter 4, 5, 5, Ephesians chapter 5. And so, there is still this order in society. Do I think it's still a good sign that, or a good thing that a woman would have a sign to show that she's married? Yes, I do. That's why I like that my wife wears her wedding ring. I know when I was a single guy, I would look at women's hands and see, is this a married woman I'm talking to, or is it a single woman I'm talking to? I'm very glad Olivia wears her wedding rings, right? And so I think that there are signs for this. Now, if a woman wants to wear a head covering to show that she is in full submission to her husband and that she's a married woman, a full member of the church, wonderful. Great, go for it. If they want to only wear it during worship because they think that this honors Christ, fine. That's wonderful. But we must remember what he says in verse 16. But if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. I don't think that this should be a contentious issue. Right? This is not meant to provoke fights and cause fights. This was meant to stop those fights, this tradition, this practice that he had given the church in Corinth. And so likewise, as we are in a different century with different customs, we ought not to just throw these things out wholesale, but we're to understand them in their historical and grammatical context and apply them to our lives in right ways. And so I think we can do this by bringing glory to God in all things, even in the worship service. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I pray that if I have said something wrong today, something sinful, Lord, please let my friends send me messages, write comments, call, email, and tell me where they think I've gone wrong. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be teaching us and that you would apply these words to our lives. Lord, we pray that we would be a people who would be ordered as you have commanded us and that we would follow in your ways. Please, Lord, protect your church. Please let us do everything orderly to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, may the Lord bless you today. May you find fulfillment in the role that he's placed you in your life. May you glorify him, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do. May you love him with all your heart. And I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon RP Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.